Food Fight Radio on KCBQ is sponsored by FranVest International, Inc.
Welcome, folks, to Food Fight Radio, and I'm your host, Claire Katz. You know what? You can't really consider yourself a foodie unless other foodies tick you off. I'd say that, more than anything else, really is the main qualifier. Things that make Chef Marcus mad. That's what we're going to be talking about this session on Food Fight. But during the last hour, we did an experimental taste test with these Bertie Bott's Every Flavor Beans, the gimmicky ones from the Harry Potter movie. And we asked our lovely and adorable board op, Jeff, to taste test, road test a couple of these things, if you will. And Jeff, which one did you pick? Did you get the light green or the dark green, or did you just go ahead and eat both of those? How you doing?
I tried the dark green one.
The dark green one?
And it wasn't good.
Yeah, that was booger flavor.
Appreciate that.
So I didn't get to see the look on your face, though. Can you kind of reenact that for me? I want to take a look at it here. What was the face that you made when you bit into the booger bean?
Have you seen the grumpy cat?
That sounds about right. Poor guy. We kind of put him through hell on this show. Well, we apologize for that. There's a lovely peach one in here with your name on it as a sort of a makeup with you sort of gift. What? It's not the vomit flavor. That's this one. I'm going to eat this.
I'm just making sure.
You guys ate them. Jeff had a booger flavor one. I mean, you've eaten some disgusting ones today. Yeah. I'm going to go ahead and throw myself on the sword and eat this
vomit-flavored
jelly bean.
This is going to be great.
And by the way, sometimes, you know, people, like if they smell vomit, they vomit themselves.
Yes.
This doesn't smell very nice.
No.
Okay, so I'm going to just go ahead and eat this thing here. I'm eating this jelly bean. Oh, my God.
Does it taste like acid?
It doesn't taste like acid. This is like if a gummy bear puked.
Mm-hmm.
That's what this would... Oh, man, it gets worse.
Yeah.
This is horrifying.
Because the more you chew, the more you release the sugar, and the more the sugar disappears, and it's just a horrific flavor.
My body is rebelling right now. This is like, ugh. My everything, every brain cell I have is telling me I shouldn't be chewing on this.
Stop.
Oh, with the ick.
Now, that was a failed attempt at them making a pepperoni flavored jelly bean.
I would eat that.
Yeah, but the vomit flavor was one of their failures. That's how they got it.
Oh, won't they make bacon flavor? Come on. If vegetarians can eat it, that would be nice. Oh, water. Okay. Yeah. Wait, it's still there. There's no getting rid of this flavor. No. Ah, it's coating my teeth. Oh, nasty. Wait, here's some coffee. Ooh, coffee works.
Yeah.
It's like drinking milk after eating a jalapeno.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now that experience is behind us, we can chalk that up to, I don't know, Radio Gold?
There we go.
Sure.
Radio jelly beans.
Radio golden-colored vomit-flavored jelly beans. Wow, that was bad. Okay, folks, so when your kid asks you for these jelly beans, you can say, sure, son, of course you can have this candy, because they won't want to see candy for like a week afterward. Do your homework. Or we will make you eat this earwax flavored jelly bean. Really lets them know how good they have it. So, I mean, that's just good parenting.
Exactly.
Right? Your punishment is that you have to eat jelly beans after dinner. Oh, I don't like this flavor. Keep chewing. So, Marcus, what irritates you? I know one of the things that irritate you is when people overuse the term farm to table, farm to this, farm to that, farm to everything, ocean to table in 2 hours. Tell me a little bit about how much that irks.
Well, right now, honestly, if you're in San Diego and you're not doing farm to table, then you're not. Sorry, that face was great. It's hard to be mad. You're kind of behind the ball. Everybody's doing farm to table, and it's the best way to get fresh ingredients and the best way to get, the best product. So if you're not doing it, then you're not up there. You're not competing. You're not one of the best restaurants. And so advertising it is just like saying, yes, our beef comes from cows. Like, it's silly. It's just a waste of everything by advertising that now. It's just so not overdone, but it's the new standard.
Yeah, let them have it.
Let them have it. It's just silly. It's like, oh, wait, you're just being lazy. I guess I'm just a front to lazy people. Change it. If you're farm to table, that's what you should be doing anyways. It's like we cook our food.
Yeah, doesn't all food come from a farm?
Exactly.
Somewhere?
I mean,
you know, there's different kinds of farms.
Yeah.
So if you really wanted to impress people with it, you could do organic farm to table. Or, you know.
Or we're an organic restaurant.
What do they call just those hippie co-ops? You know, where everyone sort of works there for free. That's all it's called is a co-op?
I believe so.
That's not at all impressive. It needs a fancier, more political sounding name. You know, like shun the government organic.
Stick it to the man.
All these vegetables were raised in all naturally, human collected manure farm type of stuff.
No, you don't want human collected manure. That's not the best.
No, human manure. Humans go around and collect the manure.
But if you say human collected, never mind. Not our show. Okay.
But if people do use manure for growing fruits and
vegetables.
Commune? It's like that, except it's a business.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a...
Yeah, it's a co-op. Co-op,
like
yeah. I just, that's
thought
the name
it
for
should
it.
Really have a fancier name. I mean, co-op is just so kind of boring. But co-op farm to table,
mm-hmm.
right? That could be fun.
That would be great. That would be family-owned farm to table,
that,
co-op.
Because you are right. All food comes from a farm.
Yeah, all food comes from a farm.
And it does wind up on a table.
And if you're in San Diego and you're not using local produce, you're really not producing the best you can.
Well, you're adding to the ozone layer.
Well, or whatever. I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking about the actual plate itself and the food on the plate. If it's not coming locally, you're not using the best.
If it's not coming locally, you're a jerk.
You're a jerk. You're wasting money. You're
giving subpar
crap.
Food.
Yeah, you're exactly.
The local produce, it's, I mean, there it is. Okay, you know, it's farm to table in 2 hours. That kind of gives the impression that it's a local farm.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so farm to table... That's the end of what you say.
Yeah.
That's not impressive. That is like staying the obvious. It's like...
Where else is your food coming from?
Yeah.
Is it coming from space?
Hang around in our leased space and convert oxygen to carbon dioxide.
Exactly.
That's our theme.
Yeah. Tell me when you get food that does not come from a farm and bring it to your table, because I will be impressed.
Well, then there's the ocean stuff, and then you have ocean to table.
Well, where else is your seafood going to come from?
We're coastal here.
Yeah,
I mean, so that's not really all that impressive.
We grew our oysters in the top of the desert. No, you grew them in the ocean. Your farm is in the ocean.
I could go pluck something from the water and have it on a table within 2 hours, and I don't have to pay a premium for that.
No, that's where it comes from.
And
come on.
By the way, if it's ocean to table in 2 hours, which ocean? Because the water... That's kind of right off the coast here.
Yeah.
I don't know that I want to eat stuff.
Yeah, the water you're not supposed to swim in when it rains because it's so full.
But you're excited about eating fish within 2 hours of being plucked from that same water. That's kind of a little bit disturbing,
It's just a little bit. Well, they do go far out. That's why it's 2 hours, because they're so out there. It's not so bad.
It's an hour and a half on the water, and then it's 30 minutes on the land.
Exactly.
So if you're like right there on the coast, you're getting relatively fresh, somewhat sort of clean fish that, you know what, I still don't want to eat it. I'm not a fish fan, as you know, and, well, bleh. In the, you know, I can still taste that jelly bean.
Yeah, the little vomit. I can see that. You keep on having, like, flashbacks.
I mean, you can see I'm smiling, and then all of a sudden, I get this just sad, like, I have PTSD, like a veteran who comes back from a war, and every once in a while they kind of glaze over and they get that kind of misty, sad look of stuff that they've seen. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm having that experience. I'm having post-traumatic stress jelly bean disorder. PTSJD?
Yes. We're going to make bracelets for that.
We're going to make bracelets. Our new color is going to be puke green.
Puke.
Because I think that'd be funny. In the coming months, we are going to be having some interviews with some of these people who likely use these irritating terms every day, and Marcus here will get his chance to puff up and get in their collective faces. How about that, buddy? You ready to rock?
Yeah.
Give him a taste of the other white meat. It's okay that we have our board op Jeff here to protect us from the attacking mob of angry chefs. We're safe in this box, right? I'm pretty sure Jeff would feed us to the wolves. So you gave me a booger-flavored jelly bean. I am going to let these people come in there and attack you. We're sorry about the booger-flavored jelly bean, Jeff. We'll give you the apple one next time. He didn't get the nickname Lefty Jeffrey for nothing, folks. You know, foodies are the one club of people where they don't really stick up for each other.
No, they throw each other to the wolves.
It's every foodie for themselves, basically. Everyone figures they're a better food aficionado than the other guy, so they don't really have each other's back. Not like baseball or football players or wrestlers or even guys who like to hang around in the same bar and drink the same
MMA fighters get each other's backs, even after they fight each other.
Yeah. And guess what, foodies? Normal people don't like us very much. We aggravate normal folks. I say we band together and back each other up and make fun of only other non-food people. Like Mindy Kaling, who says, I'm so over foodies. They're like, they never let you order. You know what, Mindy? You could probably skip a meal now and then. Just saying. Everyone ask yourself, when you're throwing a party, who do you call for advice?
Your foodie friends.
That's what I thought. Yeah. Never tick off an expert in anything, regardless of what their expertise is, because you never know when you may need them. Mm-hmm. If your neighbor is a real great computer guy, or your brother is great at setting up stereos,
mm-hmm.
you wouldn't want to make them mad, right?
No, because
you'd
stay on their good side. Set up yourself so it explodes.
Exactly. Same thing here. If you know what's good for you, you will stop making fun of your foodie friends, because the next time your souffle collapses, who are you going to call? Who are you going to call? That's all I want to know.
I can't help it.
I know you can't help it. When we come back from the break, homemade aioli. Is it worth it?
Sometimes.
No, it isn't. But keep listening anyway. We'll be covering a swanky Las Vegas next, where the secret ingredient is that you're plastered and everything tastes good. This is Food Fight Radio, folks. Keep it tuned.
Have you looked at your grocery bill lately? You've probably noticed that good food is expensive. And between planning, shopping, cooking, and cleaning up, it's also time-consuming. And probably one of the least rewarding daily chores you have. Hey, here's an idea. Let Dine-In Tonight simplify your life, one meal at a time. They hand-deliver hot, delicious, gourmet meals right to your door at dinner time. A few of their 100 gourmet recipes include maple-glazed baby back ribs. Oh, hello. How about lemon chicken piccata, roast beef with Dijon sauce, roasted red snapper, Havarti chicken with portobello mushrooms? Choose 3 or 5 nights per week for just $10 per entree with no delivery fee. Get a free week of meals delivered by using promotion code KCBQ. Sign up online at dineintonight.com. That's dineinnight.com or call 888-64-MEALS. That's 888-64-MEALS.
Trying to run or start a business, but the costs and overhead are keeping you from your dream? Lower your costs and reduce your footprint with a virtual office with FlexOffice. You'll have a real business address for your mail, business cards, and website. All of the amenities are provided for you. You and your clients can meet in a professional office building. You'll have access to a fully equipped conference room and classroom with internet and a 42-inch TV monitor for presentations or training. Conveniently located in Sorrento Mesa with access to the 805 and 15. Get your dreams back on track with a professional virtual office today for only $79 per month. It's the most flexible and cost-effective way to get what you need to grow your business, and you only pay for what you use. Call 858-200-7591 or visit us online at flexofficesuites.net. flexofficesuites.net.
Charles Cole Jewelers delivers dreams, bringing the deepest wish glowingly to life. This is jewelry as unique and special as the dreams that create and desire. Charles Cole has an impressive history and extensive collection, including Hearts on Fire and gorgeous colored diamonds and gemstones. Charles Cole Jewelry will indulge even the most refined tastes. They invite you to visit their design showroom and production facility in Fashion Valley Mall and see for yourself how personal service and highest value are reasons why Charles Cole is San Diego's trusted advisor for all things jewelry. Ask them about their incredible risk-free custom work. Call Charles Cole Jewelers at 619-298-5655. That's 619-298-5655. Or online at charlescole.com. That's charlescole.com. Visit Charles Cole Jewelers in the Fashion Valley Mall for amazing jewelry that resonates, excites, and inspires. charlescole.com.
Welcome back to Food Fight Radio, folks, and I'm your host, Claire Katz. With me in studio is my sister from another mister, Chef Marcus.
I think I'm a dude.
I'm almost sure.
Yeah, sister.
Because we're food people.
Yes.
You know, it's an effeminate profession. There's no getting around that. Even though the best ones in the field are, in fact, men.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But,
and use butcher knives to cut up animals.
They also throw butcher knives around the kitchen.
Yes.
Like that Ramsey guy. We're going to be talking about him a little bit later. I don't like him. just FYI. We're the food talk show that's always better than Neil Saavedra's Fork Report. Let's see you eat these jelly beans, Neil. Your ugly little goatee would shrivel up and fall off that deflated whoopee cushion you call a face. You wouldn't know this, Neil, but aioli is mayonnaise. You know that stuff you wash your face with? And you know what? You can't go anywhere without hearing something about a house-made aioli this, and chipotle aioli that, and citrus aioli blah-bitty-blah-blah. It's nice that some extra effort is going into my sandwich.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's just unnecessary. I mean, what's aioli, really?
Mayonnaise plus. You add something to your mayonnaise.
Eggs and oil.
Yeah.
Yeah, mayonnaise just eggs and oil.
Uh-huh.
Plus something that's been infused with, which means mixed in.
Yep.
Yeah. It's a house-infused aioli. Yes, it's mayonnaise that has had something stirred into it. Why do we have to get all fancy and frou-frou about everything? It takes time. It's messy. It's oily and greasy. And the worst part is, when you make it yourself, it reminds you of how bad it is for you.
Yeah, because it's egg yolks and another fat oil.
It makes it impossible to enjoy it. I mean, I know it's bad for me. Mm-hmm. If I make it, I'm not going to want to touch the stuff. Also, the homemade stuff isn't quite as flavorful, because it doesn't have all those great artificial additives and flavor enhancers making the flavors stand out, which means you'll need more. Mm-hmm. So using the store-bought stuff and just adding flavors will be less fattening. Ha! Fake is better. We've proved it. What are some great aiolis you can make with a store-bought base? What are some stuff that you generally like to add into? And we're talking about store-bought mayo here.
Store-bought mayo?
Yeah.
Roasted garlic puree.
Very nice.
Yeah. That's one of my favorite. Anytime you have a pesto or sun-dried tomato paste, beautiful, throw it in there for color. Easy peasy. Not too long ago, I made aioli with almond oil.
I tasted that. It was great.
Yes, but that was homemade. Because I wanted to make it with oil. But,
what about almond flavoring? Couldn't you just take a mayo and put in a couple of drops of almond flavoring?
I could have, but that always has that kind of alcoholy taste to it. I just wanted it to be more subtle because I didn't want to overpower what I was doing.
Bad?
With it. Depends on the dish. I want it to be creamy with no sharpness.
What about rum extract? Would you put rum extract into little bit of store-bought mayo?
I might, but I'd probably put rum in the mayo as opposed to rum extract.
Well, it's stronger, so it wouldn't water it down.
That's true.
So you wouldn't have runny mayo. It would look a lot like a dressing,
mm-hmm.
actually, if you water it down that much. Plus, then you have that alcohol flavor. Rum extract is the flavor without any of the alcohol, so it's got less bite.
Got it.
So that would be a much more subtle way to flavor that. And, you know, people probably don't realize that you can mix stuff into a cheap store-bought mayo just as easily as add flavor to your own homemade aioli blend.
Mm-hmm.
They probably don't realize that because, you know, you wouldn't think of it. You wouldn't think that, okay, adding something to it is going to be the same. Yeah, it's the same. It's exactly the same.
Because you're putting in a new front-runner flavor. You're putting something in that people are going to taste more.
And it won't affect the consistency.
No.
The reason we know this is because what mayo is made out of, basically whipped, fluffed up oil
mm-hmm.
and egg.
Yes.
Okay, something like that, it's not going to change consistency when you're blending stuff in with it. It's going to stay smooth mm-hmm. because it's made out of things that stay smooth. So it's not going to clot. It's not going to clump. It's not going to get weird. You know, you can even put citrus stuff in there.
Oh, yeah.
And it won't coagulate. It won't clump. It won't clot. It won't separate.
Well, there is a little bit of vinegar in all mayonnaise. So yeah, of course, you can put any acid in there.
You can put anything in mayonnaise and it will not change the smoothness and velvety texture of the mayo. People do not realize this.
No.
Just don't put more vinegar in it.
No.
Because then it won't taste good. Mm-hmm. I mean, it'll taste vinegar. Too vinegary. But there's a million things you can put in there. You can put preserves. Mix it with preserves.
Ooh, I'm going to go and get a jalapeno preserve.
Jalapeno
preserve.
Apricot.
Mm-hmm.
Pineapple. Guava even.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a mango. Any kind of weird, unusual preserve. I don't know that I would grab a jar of strawberry jelly and mix it in because
seeds.
You know, well, I mean, on top of that, and you know, you like seeds and stuff because it makes things look all pretty. I hate the seeds because you crunch on them with your teeth and that's annoying when you're trying to, you know, enjoy your food. But just about any unusual preserve that you can find, you know, even hibiscus flowers in syrup, you could take some of that, chop up the hibiscus flower, mm-hmm. a little bit of syrup, mix that in with the mayo, and you have a wonderful, fruity, tasty, sweet, floral Call it homemade aioli.
Exactly.
That's what you have. If you're putting stuff into it, guess what? That store-bought, cheap, generic Safeway brand mayo is now homemade infused aioli.
Now, if you're having a dinner party, make sure to get rid of the evidence.
Throw away the bottle.
Throw away the bottle.
Yeah. Get a little bottle, you know, and mix it into the bottle. Tear off the label, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then put some tape on it. Get a Sharpie.
Like, I use the bottle. I keep the bottles.
Yeah, I keep the bottles for mixing things.
For mixing things, exactly.
Yeah, they're empty before I start working on them. No, people aren't going to believe that. They're going to know, but they'll still be impressed.
Yeah, exactly.
Because anyone can take a schmear of mayonnaise and put it on something and say, here, eat this sandwich. But if you change the mayo, just the mayo, the whole rest of the sandwich takes on a completely other dimension.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can have a ham and cheese sandwich, and you can have plain mayo. It's just a ham and cheese sandwich. There's nothing special about it. But if you take pineapple preserves, mix it in with your cheap Safeway brand mayonnaise.
You got a Hawaiian sandwich.
It's an awesome sandwich.
Yeah.
It tastes like a gourmet sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
Really. If you toast the bread a little bit, use toast for your bread slices instead of just plain bread. There you go.
Great.
This is now a gourmet sandwich.
How many times have you been excited to have a pesto aioli on your sandwich?
Pretty frequently, actually.
Yeah. Ooh, pesto. Ooh.
Of course, I think about mayonnaise a lot, though. I mean, I'm not exactly a normal person.
No, I was just pointing out that, you know, having that aioli, that flavored aioli, makes that sandwich pop and seem so much more fancy or more.
You're going to look forward to your lunch.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, oh, I got a turkey sandwich again for lunch. No, you're going to be all excited,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you can't wait to eat it, is the thing. And you can put all kinds of stuff in there. You can put your spice combos into the mayonnaise. Just mix in some spices. We have our spice combinations for dummies up still on our website.
Nice.
You can still get to that. Those are some really good ones. Pumpkin pie spice. Put a little pumpkin pie spice into mayonnaise, and it's fantastic. You know? You can also use marmalade, citrus peels, honey, molasses. Ever tried chocolate syrup?
No.
Chocolate syrup in mayonnaise.
What would you use that with?
A savory sweet sandwich.
Savory sweet,
you know, something probably like a, I don't know.
Like a chicken or a...
Chicken with something sweet.
Yeah.
Like a sweet cheese or something like that. Or maybe chicken with slices of apple.
If the kids aren't eating their sandwich.
Chicken with slices of apple and homemade chocolate aioli.
Nice.
Who wouldn't want to eat that?
I want to eat that right now.
I'm getting kind of hungry. So this is always happens show is that we're, you know, we talk about food and I'm starving by the time we're done. It's not fair. Chocolate aioli. Don't knock it till you've tried it. And you can use these on fruit salads, right? For even skipping sandwiches, looking beyond the world of sandwiches here. There are lots of things that you typically would add mayonnaise to.
Yeah.
Right? So fruit salads. Waldorf salad.
Oh, yeah, huh?
Chicken salad. Tuna salad. I would not put the chocolate aioli with a tuna salad. That would be gross.
That would be really gross.
That would be really gross. And I just ate a vomit jelly bean. So
just a little heads up for people out there. Like blue cheese dressing and ranch dressing usually have a mayonnaise base. So you're still doing that. If, like, what type of mayonnaise would I put on a salad? You do it anyways. You do a ranch mayonnaise, and you do a blue cheese mayonnaise, you put in a salad anyway. So why not do a jalapeno or, again, a pesto?
Just take the seeds out. Just take the seeds out.
Take the seeds out.
Just use the outside shell of the jalapeno is all that wonderful flavor.
Mm-hmm.
Take the seeds out.
Yes.
You don't need, don't eat the seeds.
Not this unless you have something to prove.
right, which we should do that on air.
No.
We're going to, because you won't be able to speak
afterward.
Uh-huh. It's horrifying that the fire
throat,
you can't barely function.
We had those, what are those, blue cheese, bacon, whatever, jalapeno.
Stuffed jalapenos.
Yeah, where they did
They left the seeds in.
Yeah, and on purpose.
They looked delicious.
Uh-huh.
So now pick one up, take a big bite, because you're expecting gooey, warm, something, deep fried, cream cheese inside. How could that not be good? But 20 minutes later, we're still sputtering for air.
Yeah.
And that was, so we called them up. Hey, you guys forgot to seed your jalapenos that you stuffed. Oh, we didn't forget anything. We do that on purpose.
We don't want you to like your food.
That's just mean. That was mean. And if you ask them to take the seeds out, they won't, by the way. So that's like a restaurant that fails to continue to get my business. Just do what your customers want. We're going to talk about more about that later when we talk about the Palm in Las Vegas. I got a bone to pick with them. And on top of that, mayo, the cheaper it is, the tastier it is. I've noticed. The Safeway brand generic stuff is better in a sandwich or with an add-in. And, you know, the things that you infuse it with.
Yep.
Yeah, the things you stir into it, basically. Mm-hmm. Dumb it down. Better than the olive oil, slow-churned frou-frou stuff that costs three times more.
I fully agree.
When we come back on from our next commercial break, food politics. That's right, we're going to dive into a deep pool of controversy. GMFs. You missed, come on.
GMOs.
What's the government sticking their little fingers into now? We'll keep you updated on our opinions anyway. Are we left? Are we right? We don't know. Well, we're not usually wrong.
Yes.
Up next on Food Fight Radio on KCBQ.
For over 7 years, Modern Dentistry, the office of Dr. Amir Majavar and his friendly professional team members, have been providing quality and affordable care to San Diegans all over the county, specializing in state-of-the-art cosmetic and family dentistry, including children ages 3 and up, porcelain crowns, veneers and luminaires, Invisalign, teeth whitening, and metal-free restorations. Rest assured the care you'll receive will be with the utmost precision and quality, and provided in a caring, nurturing, and virtually pain-free environment. Having completed a residency in cosmetic dentistry and over 200 successful Invisalign cases, Dr. Majavar is highly trained to create a beautiful smile just for you. Their office is designed with comfortable chairs, ceiling-mounted TVs, and noise-canceling headphones. Call Modern Dentistry and see what a difference a healthy, beautiful smile can make in your life. Go to sdmoderndentistry.com or call 858-259-4765. 858-259-4765.
In this corner, authentic New York-style pizza from Knockout Pizza Miramesa. Hand-tossed with the freshest ingredients. And in that corner, the other guys. And the winner by a knockout. KnockoutPizzaMiramesa.com.
Trying to run or start a business, but the costs and overhead are keeping you from your dream? Lower your costs and reduce your footprint with a virtual office with FlexOffice. You'll have a real business address for your mail, business cards, and website. All of the amenities are provided for you. You and your clients can meet in a professional office building. You'll have access to a fully equipped conference room and classroom with internet and a 42-inch TV monitor for presentations or training. Conveniently located in Sorrento Mesa with access to the 805 and 15. Get your dreams back on track with a professional virtual office today for only $79 per month. It's the most flexible and cost-effective way to get what you need to grow your business, and you only pay for what you use. Call 858-200-7591 or visit us online at flexofficesuites.net. flexofficesuites.net.
Welcome back to Food Fight Radio, folks. You know, we have a lot of fun here in the studio. And poor Marcus is having a hard time holding his composure because, you know, we like our bumper music.
Yes.
It's good stuff. So we usually, we boogie
yeah.
around in the studio to increase our energy.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Because, hey, I didn't get a lot of sleep last night. And, well, Marcus has a newborn baby.
Yes.
So you know he's not getting a lot of sleep. But me, I was just, you know, late night, too much partying. Not a lot of sleep. So we're trying to amp ourselves up. And occasionally we have a laughing fit.
Yes.
You know, when you listen to us, you just have to get past that. It's just price you got to pay. Straight to the nitty gritty, folks. This is why you tune in. To listen to us getting mad. Like, I'm going to wreck it.
Oh, I love that movie.
Hopping mad. As mad as our board op when we feed him. We promise. Next time it'll be cheesecake.
Cheesecake.
Durian cheesecake.
Ugh.
Think he's actually listening?
No, he doesn't listen. He's smart.
So we're going to be talking about current politics. And by politics, of course, this is a food show. We only talk about food politics here because we don't get involved in actual politics.
No.
Actual politics is dumb.
It's confusing.
And boring. And kind of confusing. And I got to admit it, folks, oftentimes it's over my head.
I just, doesn't move fast enough for me. So I just get really bored
with it. It's slow. It's like playing chess.
It's like playing chess with someone who knows how to play chess. So they're always thinking about their moves. Like 14 ahead, you're like, just move the stupid little pieces.
You know, they're not thinking about the moves. With chess, there is a predetermined set of correct moves, mm-hmm. and you have to make those correct moves in any specific, you know, in the right order.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're not doing it right. So that's not a game at all. A game is something that you have to improvise.
You just lost me.
And, well, you know, let's say, okay, tennis. You don't know where the ball's going to land, and you can kind of whack the ball anywhere, and really you're just trying to get the other guy to miss it. With chess, each game has a specific number of the proper order of the correct plays,
mm-hmm.
or you don't win. Or the game continues until you get the board into another position where you can, oh, okay, I'm going to do the Charleston hook jump now, and then you do
I
the series
hope there's
of seven.
Is a chess move called the Charleston hook jump?
There are people, there probably is. I don't know, I just made that
I'm
up.
I'm going to Google that.
Yeah, I got the name from the candy bar, the Charleston chew, but that's me, food person, obviously. Okay. Chess is not necessarily for the world's smartest people. It's a game about memorizing plays.
Mm.
At least, you know, it's like in football, mm-hmm. right? You memorize the play, and at the end of the play, you hope that something has happened. Okay? In chess, you hope the guy responds to your move in a specific way.
Mm-hmm.
So you're memorizing plays. It's not at all like a real sport.
Oh, it's not a sport. No, it's just a game. But if it's not like a real game.
It's not a real game.
Hmm.
At all.
It's like
it's
memory
a game
for
if you have two people,
people
playing it who have no clue how to play. That's a game. Because now it's up to chance. Now wherever you move, hey, something new and interesting is going to happen. If you're playing with someone who knows how to play chess,
mm-hmm.
is that has all these things memorized, you know, that has maybe won some chess tournaments, this is a game of memorization. It's not strategy. It's using a play that has specific moves. You have to get through those specific moves, and then you're in a prime position to use another specific move. You already know before the game has begun how many moves you're going to be making and how it will end. That's not a game to me. That is politics. Therefore, I don't enjoy it. I don't enjoy politics. I don't like things where, okay, you know what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, slam this guy over here, do this, spend, okay, now at this moment, spend another $12 million on this kind of promotion, and it'll create this sort of backlash from the public, and then this guy is going to be hurt in this sort of way, and that puts us in a prime position to do the double queen jumping sweep, whatever it's called. Yeah, anyway, so back to food politics, which
food
is
politics.
Really my favorite kind.
Yes.
And it's GMOs and GMFs.
GMOs?
We argue about this a lot, actually. I like to call it genetically modified food. Marcus likes to call it genetically modified organisms. But let's face it, you can't eat every organism. And I don't care about organisms that have been modified that I'm not going to be eating.
What if your food's eating it?
What?
Well, cows eat grass.
We're talking about genetically modified grass?
Well, cows eat the grass, and it affects them, and then you eat the cows.
Uh-huh.
Mm.
Okay, are we altering the grass?
Yes, that's why it would be a GMO.
Okay, so the cow is now a GMF if the grass has been fed with some sort of grass fertilizer that has been at all modified as a GMO. So now the GMOs are affecting my GMFs?
Yes, and the cow is a GMO until you process it into a food. Then it's a GMF.
A cow is born a food, in my opinion.
Mm.
Yeah. See, it's a walking food.
Walking food.
Which will, after it's become food, it's going to be a coat or my sneakers. Things about GMOs is that, and I'm just going to, for the sake of argument, I'm going to go ahead and call it a GMO.
Thank you.
Just to make you happy.
I appreciate that.
Fertility. We're talking about specifically GMOs and fertility right now. Fertility starts declining during your late 20s now.
Oh, as opposed to your mid-30s?
Yeah. So women in their early 20s have about a 50% chance to conceive 2 days before ovulation, which is when women are generally the most fertile. The age at which a woman's biological clock starts ticking is now thought to be about 27, when they're focusing a little bit less on their careers. That's when she loses 10% of her fertility, bringing her odds of conceiving down to 40%. At 35, her chances of conceiving drop to 30%. They don't drop 30%. They drop to 30%. Having a partner who is at least 5 years older puts the chances of conception at risk also beyond that point. So sadly, statistics show that 60% of women and 81% of men think that fertility starts to markedly decline only after age 40. They're totally wrong. So people
living
are having,
in the past.
Yeah, people are having way too much fun
mm-hmm.
in the time where they should be, if they want to have kids.
Oh yeah, I get what
they're
you're
waiting
saying.
Too long.
Yeah. So, and everybody wants to wait until they're, well, not everybody, but most people want to wait until they're steady in their career.
People are selfish. People want to have fun. You can have a job and a kid.
I get that, but we waited because we wanted to have fun. Because we wanted to, you know, kind of be able to settle down.
Well, a lot of the time, the waiting lowers the chances.
Oh, I agree.
And
yeah.
then it starts to get very expensive because then you're talking about fertility treatments and weekly trips to the doctor, and then you got to get shots and you're behind. and you know, stuff, all kinds of, and the chemicals that they use to boost fertility also enhance the possible growth of precancerous cells.
Oh, yeah, because it's probably hormones and hormones.
It's
everything.
Very
yeah.
risky.
Yeah.
You know, and we women, we're hormone fests as it is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're big, giant hornet's nests of all kinds of weird little catches of hormonal hotspots and landmines. I mean, it's weird, like, in there biologically. Men are
landmines,
very simple machines.
Women.
Men are very complicated machines. Men are calculators. And women are computers. Basically, that's about it. So there are some genetic factors and various diseases that can influence reproductive health. But now the people are looking towards GMOs as a possible cause. So the people are thinking, here's the risks. Oh, here's what causes infertility. Smoking.
Yes.
Excessive body weight.
Really?
Food additives.
I'm so shocked.
Pesticides.
Really?
We're going to do this the whole time? Medication. Drugs, radiation, of course, people
wow.
who have radiation, they kind of can't live without it because usually that's like killing a cancer or something.
Mm-hmm.
So you're kind of stuck there.
Yeah.
If you're getting radiation, it's probably because you need it.
Yes.
So there's no avoiding that. I mean, it's not like people are willingly going into the hospital and taking 20 x-rays of their face.
No.
That doesn't generally happen. GMOs.
Mm.
Also, one of the things that people blame. The GMOs here may be only a tiny part of the problem, as the much bigger problems are really kind of self-induced.
Yeah.
So here before, I'd be blaming the food and produce and stuff. I'd look inward because a smoker with too much body fat kind of brought this on themselves. You know, these, do you have to smoke? No, you don't. Smoking's going to hurt your fertility more than eating a cow that has been fed a genetically modified piece of grass.
See, this
like
whole problem,
ever will.
This whole problem just seems to be, we're looking at the other end because we all know that people are starting to mature early. So, of course, their peaks and valleys are all going to happen earlier, right?
Well, people mature earlier, but they wait to start dating and doing stuff until later. Like before, people would have a lifespan of, what, about 30, 35 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're a great grandma by the time you're 40. And then, of course, you know, you die of some abscess gum disease. But we're talking about early settlers here.
Yeah, early settlers.
Walked out of caves,
mm-hmm.
that we would have these tendencies. So people would start having babies as soon as they
possible.
Physically could.
Yes.
As soon you hit puberty, bam, you're pregnant the next month.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's your job to have a baby every year. Mm-hmm. No such thing as birth control back then.
No.
You know, so, and of course, you need more people helping out in your clan.
Yeah.
So you're going to have as many as possible. And that was a good idea mm-hmm. back then. But now it takes people until, you know, probably 20, 30 years ago into their mid-20s. Get married, start having babies. Otherwise, your parents start, you know, when are you going to have kids? You know, and that now that happens in your 30s.
Yeah.
And now people don't want to do that in their 30s. They want to do it in their late 30s, early 40s.
Mm.
Because, you know what? 60 is the new 40. People's health is pretty good.
Yeah, yeah.
A certain point. People are staying healthy and active, and, you know, everyone's doing yoga, and people are becoming macrobiotic. It's, you know, a whole thing. And, you know, anyway, herbs that can improve fertility. Okay, you're probably not going to be able to avoid GMOs. I'm sorry,
yeah,
but
yeah,
you're not.
If you live in a first world country,
you
you're not.
Can't avoid it.
All a lot
you
of
can
the
do,
bans in Europe are coming up too, so they can feed everybody.
You can minimize it.
Yeah.
You can minimize it by not eating things that come from a freezer or from a box.
Mm-hmm. Local.
Yeah, try organic. To get local stuff. Just try. Just try to do something. But you can take herbs to improve your fertility. Chaste berry, I find that word is interesting to me.
Mm-hmm.
It increases fertility by stimulating your pituitary gland.
Mm.
Dong quai.
Dong quai?
Commonly known as female ginseng. It's a Chinese herb. You can get that. The article that I got this information from failed to mention wild yam, which is really great at boosting fertility. But food to boost fertility specifically, whole milk, lean meats, whole grains. Wild yam, not the same as regular yams.
Uh-huh.
Wild yam, you can really only get in a pill form.
Okay.
It's a naturally growing vegetable in a lot of countries like, you know, Africa, things we don't get here. People live on those things over there. They have no problem having kids.
Of course.
Okay. But here, okay, we don't really have that. We don't eat them three times a day. We don't need to. We don't have a limited selection of food available in front of us. Not part of our daily staple diet. We don't eat it. Can't find it. You can't get it at a farmer's market. You're going to need wild yams in pills. Oysters, also very good. It's not just an aphrodisiac. It also boosts your fertility, high in zinc. So, you know, foods to avoid. You want to just avoid high mercury fish, really. Avoid as many GMOs as possible. And relabels. Fried foods are conception busters.
Yes.
Nix the fried foods. packaged snacks, donuts, skip them. You know what? You want to have babies, try to eat healthy food. You should probably be healthier if you're going to be reproducing anyway.
Exactly.
Because your kid's going to wind up just like you.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Don't you want to be the best you can for your kid?
Exactly. So, and here's another, here's an example of how veganism and any other kind of ludicrous food restriction being bad for the human race. And it's perpetuation, because really you need lean meat and protein, specifically lean meat, to increase your fertility. So if you're having trouble making a kid into your 30s and later, don't be a vegan or a vegetarian. Just cut that out for a little while. You'll probably have a kid. And then once the kid's born, you can do whatever the heck you want. When we come back after this quick commercial break, we'll be reviewing a fabulous steak and seafood restaurant, The Palm, with locations all over and in San Diego. This place is doing quite well. Probably doesn't even need your business. Doesn't that just make you want to eat there? They don't even need your business. When we come back to Food Fight Radio after this.
When our kids started school, I could see they needed an extra challenge. We tried to supplement at home, but we were exhausted and they were bored.
Then we discovered Renaissance Village Academy, located at 9988 Hybert Street in Scripps Ranch. RVA is a school for gifted, profoundly gifted, and or highly motivated students in kindergarten through eighth grade. The kids are so excited to go to school now, and they're definitely challenged.
Each week includes karate, drama, music, arts, education, gardening, and other valuable life skills.
So we're confident that they're being well prepared for success.
RVA is unlike any school you've ever seen. I'm so glad we found Renaissance Village Academy.
It's the school I wish I had gone to.
I know, right? Go to rva.us.com to find out more about how your child can rediscover the joy of learning. Renaissance Village Academy. Personalized and
don't forget motivating.
Education for the gifted.
Go to rva.us.com.
Trying to run or start a business, but the costs and overhead are keeping you from your dream? Lower your costs and reduce your footprint with a virtual office with FlexOffice. You'll have a real business address for your mail, business cards, and website. All of the amenities are provided for you. You and your clients can meet in a professional office building. You'll have access to a fully equipped conference room and classroom with internet and a 42-inch TV monitor for presentations or training. Conveniently located in Sorrento Mesa with access to the 805 and 15. Get your dreams back on track with a professional virtual office today for only $79 per month. It's the most flexible and cost-effective way to get what you need to grow your business, and you only pay for what you use. Call 858-200-7591 or visit us online at flexofficesuites.net. flexofficesuites.net.
Have you looked at your grocery bill lately? You've probably noticed that good food is expensive. And between planning, shopping, cooking, and cleaning up, it's also time-consuming. And probably one of the least rewarding daily chores you have. Hey, here's an idea. Let Dine-In Tonight simplify your life. One meal at a time. They hand-deliver hot, delicious, gourmet meals right to your door at dinner time. A few of their 100 gourmet recipes include maple-glazed baby back ribs. Oh, hello. How about lemon chicken piccata, roast beef with Dijon sauce, roasted red snapper, Havarti chicken with portobello mushrooms? Choose 3 or 5 nights per week for just $10 per entree with no delivery fee. Get a free week of meals delivered by using promotion code KCBQ. Sign up online at dineintonight.com. That's dineintonight.com or call 888-64-MEALS. That's 888-64-MEALS.
Welcome back, folks, to Food Fight Radio. Hey, Marcus.
Yes.
If vegetarians eat vegetables, then what do humanitarians eat?
Vegetables?
Wrong. They eat humans. They eat humans. On to the review. On a recent midweek trip to Las Vegas, we made plans to stop at a landmark restaurant, The Palm. These guys have many locations, including one in San Diego, so naturally we went there because we couldn't just go there anytime we wanted to, right? Well, the parking is a pain downtown. It's actually easier to get to the Las Vegas location. Located in the Inside Out Forum Shops in Caesar's Palace, it's a great place to do some people watching. The Palm specializes in manly steaks and huge lobsters, like 3 pounds and up lobsters. Seriously, they have a 5-pounder, but I'm not sure I'd want to eat that since they get kind of tough after about 3 pounds. Being the lobster aficionado that I am, I ordered the 3-pound stuffed lobster, which was to come topped with a nice broiled crunchy topping of fresh crab meat and breadcrumbs. Now, a word on lobster for those that are not familiar with the process of preparing them. Once these things are cooked, they need to be cleaned because they have these mushy, runny, grayish-green guts, including a weird liver and some lung sacs. All these things should be removed prior to eating, in my opinion. And in females, there's usually an egg sac called coral, which is full of teeny tiny little red lobster eggs that would otherwise get expelled and one day become new baby lobsters. Well, I ordered the stuffed lobster, of course, and having dined on lobster many, many times, I dived right in, retrieving a nice, big, gooey, bright red egg sac on my fork. Shocked, I poked around a bit and found, just under the buttery crumb layer, a nice, thick, greasy pool of lobster guts. Assuming that this must be some kind of error, and of course, taking off a few points for them on my notepad, I called over our waiter. This smiley young man looked at the mess of guts and then looked at me quizzically. "I believe your cooks have forgotten to remove the tamale and coral from my lobster," I say. "Oh, that is no mistake," he says. "That's how we prepare it." Knowing this is not a common practice, I inquire further, mentioning that I've never been presented with a $100 plate of lobster entrails before, and in fact I've dined at the Palm twice and this has never come up. He tells me that I must have gotten a male lobster in the past. Still figuring this to be some kind of prank that they play on critics, I ask, "Okay, so if that's really how they're prepared, how often do people complain about it?" He says about half the time. "So you have to make a new lobster every time someone complains?" "Yes." "Okay, so let's think about this for a second. The lobsters are female about half the time. So people are seeing this gut sack about half the time. And people complain half the time. So it's pretty safe to say that people complain every time they see guts. You wouldn't see male lobster's guts unless you poked around in the upper body part of the lobster, which nobody does because there's no meat there." I ask how long they've been doing this preparation, and the waiter tells me 20 years. Okay, so for 20 years, these guys have been intentionally serving something that people don't like and tossing out expensive lobsters every time they complain. To me, that just seems like a stupid way to run a restaurant. That couldn't possibly be profitable, right? Am I paying an exorbitant fee for my lobster because they have to cover all the ones they plan on tossing in the trash? That's just wrong and wasteful. Normally, I wouldn't give a bad review. I might have a bad experience, but I'd never air it out of respect for the profession, which these chefs are offering up to me their life's work so they can grow and thrive and support their staff and help us expand our appreciation of food. I cannot let this one go. Sorry, Palm, but you do not gain my respect by disrespecting the food. I cannot put my stamp on this kind of practice. Lobsters are special, succulent, and they deserve to be served with butter and verblancs and stuffings. You dishonor them by sending them to the table still simmering in their own entrails. You are lazy, and you know it. And deliberately serving something you know your customers don't like, that's unacceptable. If you want to serve them guts in, at least you should warn the customer and give them an option. Of course, then you'd have to charge a reasonable price for them, and that would just hurt too much, wouldn't it? By the way, folks, once I got a new gut-free lobster, it was perfectly tasty, and the thing on top, very delicious. That's my review. Little pungent gray flecks of gut juice on your majestic broiled lobster. Meat? Anyone? No? I pass. Anyway, several martinis later, I had to be dragged away from the table to keep me from giving said manager a piece of my mind. Dine at the Palm if you want to. When you get the lobster without the guts, it's actually quite nice.
And now for your moment of clarification.
Folks, a couple things about Las Vegas that I think deserve honorable mention. Firstly, the name means the meadow, which I think is a funny name for a dried-up wasteland 100 miles from everywhere, but maybe that's just me. Secondly, they have a surcharge for everything. Have you noticed? Even things you didn't know existed. And what's up with all the lame celebrity chef restaurants? One of the saddest, by far, is Gordon Ramsay's Pub and Grill. The menu is so predictable, I guessed half of it before we even arrived. For you Americans, they have classic British favorites like "This is all we can get to grow here" beets, and "We reheated this just for you" shepherd's pie. For a guy who doesn't hesitate to throw knives at others making subpar food on TV, he sure seems to specialize in it. You'd think a chef with so many years of experience could come up with something a little more creative at his Las Vegas flagship than mac and cheese. With truffle oil. in case you were questioning the $18 price tag. He should change the name to, "This is my last chance to insult Americans before I get murdered by a vengeful Hell's Kitchen contestant, Pub and Grill." Need further proof that Las Vegas is where talent goes to die? I saw a guy who made it to the final four on America's Got Talent breakdancing on a corner for tips. That's just depressing. In Vegas, there's also this CNF charge we noticed on some of the receipts, in addition to the tax. Upon asking, we were informed that the CNF charge is actually a tax because the place is attached to a casino. And I guess they just can't reach into your wallet, so they have to get creative. On top of the airline fuel surcharge fee, baggage fee, sales tax, room resort fees, fee for being white, working hot water and water pressure, having to pay an extra 4% on our restaurant bill because they built their place on prime real estate seems a little bit not my freaking problem, doesn't it? I didn't sign the lease. It wasn't my decision to feed a captive audience in a 0% humidity desert sinkhole. What's the matter? The $16 watered-down cocktails aren't keeping you afloat? And the nerve of Vegas calling itself a friendly resort town when it could technically be called a mid-desert rip-off business co-op with tax-paying hookers. When their business dips, there's a 4% WTF fee on the hooker's receipt. That's a won't-tell-your-family fee. The only fee I'll happily pay is the hotel MDJ fee, Maid Did Her Job, where for a small charge they'll clear the alarm clock so you don't get woken up at 5 a.m. like the last poor convention goer that occupied the room. Yeah, that was annoying. Next, they'll have a surcharge for breathing. And I'm thinking that this city is in a constant state of tear it down and build it bigger by blaring horns, sirens, and bulldozers in the wee hours of dawn should not be allowed to call itself a resort. Why don't they just call it what it is? We can call it what we want because we're all hot, ticked off, desert trudging, aspiring actress, below minimum wage cocktail transportation specialists with no clue what that charge is, and anyway, you're too drunk to notice fee. And don't get me started on serendipity frozen hot chocolate. That's a lie. It's never been hot chocolate. They don't freeze hot chocolate. And it's all because of Sex and the City. Just like that Tasty Delight garbage. What's next? I hear in the new movie, Samantha finally hits menopause and now the frozen hot chocolate is hot again. So it's frozen hot chocolate. Which was once hot before it was frozen and finally reheated. It's got 7 R's now though, so it's $12 instead of 10. Not even on the hottest day in Vegas, bro. Tune in next week to Food Fight Radio for the best sugar-free pies, an in-studio interview with a really rockin' cupcakery that may be able to make me change my stance on the whole cupcake thing, and how to fit more bacon into your day. This is Claire Katz reminding you to play with your food.
Food Fight Radio on KCBQ is sponsored by Fran Vest International, Inc.